check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Hey, what is going on, everybody? It is Monday night here on the OBR, and that means it's time to go unscripted. And we got a great show that is completely unplanned. So I'm going to guess it's going to be a great show, and then we're just going to go from there. Overpromise and hopefully deliver. Overpromise and hopefully deliver. That's what we're going to do tonight. I am Michael Keefe, and joining me tonight, you'll see my buddy Andrew Spade is not here. I had the week off last week. He's got the week off this week. And filling in for both of us, just doing big-time work here on the OBR Streaming Network, it's our buddy Brad Ward. What's going on, Brad?
What's happening, Michael? Glad to be here again, back-to-back weeks on Unscripted. Feeling good? Feeling great? Are you wearing an official? Are you a referee?
No, it's not an official, you dope. No.
What is it?
I had a feeling. I was throwing this on, but I was like, Brad doesn't give a two rips about soccer. I believe this to my
Brad doesn't. It is absolutely true that, I'll just leave it at that.
That's fine. My team that I root for in the English Premier League, Newcastle United, for the first time in over 20 years, locked up a top four finish in the Premier League, which means they play in the Champions League in Europe next year. They go up against the biggest and the best that Europe has to offer. So I'm excited. I picked Newcastle United. I got into soccer as an adult, right? No, we're not going to talk about soccer this whole time. We're not going to talk about soccer. But I got into it as an adult. And the reason I picked Newcastle, because all my buddies used to get up on like Saturday and go to the bar and watch soccer. I'm like, this is fun, and I don't have a team.
Yeah.
So the reason I picked Newcastle was because ESPN compared them to the Browns.
Oh.
Historic franchise. Used to be great at one point. Tons of legendary play, like the all-time leading scorer in Premier League history, Alan Shearer, played for Newcastle.
Well, I can't like see below, and I see that it's a soccer jersey now. Yeah. But like from the shoulders up, you look like a ref.
Well, I have been in my life, so you guys all better watch out.
What did you officiate?
Oh, I was a high school football official.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I was a white hat.
Good stuff.
So that's why I always get excited when I go onto the website and somebody asks a question like during the season about rules. I'm like, that's my lane. That is my lane right there. Let's talk about rules and officiating. I'm always down for that.
You said you were a white hat?
Yeah. So I was the head referee.
The crew leader.
Correct.
Yes. That is, I've never heard it referenced as that, but I like it.
Well, they wear the white hat.
The white hat.
Or at least traditionally. Do they wear the white hat anymore? I don't know if the NFL...
Yeah, they do. They do, 100%. Yeah.
It's a literal name. It's a literal nickname. They're white hat.
The white hat. I like it.
I'm celebrating today. It's been a big day. This is the equivalent of the Browns getting back to like the AFC Championship, right? Like that's...
Wow. Okay. Right. Holy crap. That is for real.
Yeah.
My camera is way off. Okay, there we go.
No, we were all enjoying that? A little bit of the side view of the room there.
Yeah, what happens is you get a little peek of the second screen right here.
Yeah.
Oops.
What are you guys in your second screens? I'm a one screen guy.
In one screen? How can you even do it? I mean,
I don't know, man. This is called Unscripted. We're just here. We're just here shooting the stuff.
It's just like you got to have the second screen for, I don't know. When I'm writing, I couldn't imagine like having to switch back and forth all the time.
Yeah, I'm very adept at alt tab, at the old alt tab. Just boom.
There you go.
Get over to the other screen. So, Brad, man, again, it's unscripted. A big part of this show, before we get into talking about whatever the hell we're going to talk about today, we are in the true kind of dog days of this NFL offseason, now that the draft has come and gone, now that rookie minicamp has come and gone, now we're just kind of sitting and waiting. We're just sitting and waiting for training camp and for any news to happen, which really hasn't been much. But before we get into whatever we're going to talk about, you're part of this show. So you guys are already making comments. You guys are already lively over there in the comments. Come on over and be a part of the show. Be a part of the show. Ask us questions. Jump in and give us suggestions. Tell us what you want to talk about tonight, and we'll talk about that. We'll bring you in. You guys are a huge part of the OBR family.
Jackson, smash the like button.
Yeah.
Bow down to the algorithm, the YouTube algorithm, the YouTube overlords, and smash the like button.
Yeah, if you're on YouTube, do that. If you're on Twitch,
atone for your sins.
Just live the dream over there on Twitch too. You're part of this too. You're part of
yes,
this.
Both of you, all of you.
Look at Paul Spencer. What's there to talk about? And he said, "Yeah, Paul knew where I was going with this. Paul knew where I was going because I'm like,
we got." There's always stuff to talk about, Paul.
Well, so here's what we kind of got into today. You know, luckily we've got this OBR Slack channel, right, Brad? And so things always just kind of tend to come up on there. And so I'll be sitting on a Monday and be like, I don't know what we're going to talk about tonight. And then there'll be something that pops up. And I'm like, oh, well, good. We'll talk about that. So there was a little – everybody got a little nervous today, Brad. But got a little bit nervous.
I might have missed this. I was working all day. Yeah, go ahead.
So if you're familiar with local Cleveland, kind of very popular Twitter account, TA, Cleve TA.
Yeah, yeah.
TA posted.
Yeah, I saw this, yeah.
Yeah, he posted today.
Yeah.
And again, usually when he posts, it involves the Browns somehow. He kind of retweeted a tweet that said, it appears as though all the players that got in trouble for gambling on football, and it really took out a good chunk of the Detroit Lions, was just phase one of the bus. And there appear to be more busts coming for gambling in the NFL. And the way Cleve TA had said it was just buckle up, which I don't know if he was referencing the Browns at all or not. I don't know if he even knows, or if he was just saying, buckle up because there's more of this stuff coming. And the NFL is clearly being very harsh about this, as is their right. But yeah, a little nerves going on, Brad. A little nerves. I got that feeling. It better not be us. Damn it! It better not be us.
God, couldn't you imagine some of our secondary doing something silly like that? I hope not, man. I hope not. That it's a scary thought because. Is it true that they can't? So what are the exact rules? They can't bet on anything. They just can't bet in the building. Where's the line drawn?
Yeah, you know what? I don't exactly know what the line, the line draw is. I don't that I'm not super familiar with. You know, they obviously the Lions got away with Jameson Williams getting a lesser suspension, and yet other guys, Quintez Cephas, some of the other guys for the Lions got banned. Yeah, so I don't know where they draw that line, but
Ian's got it. They can't bet while they're in the building, which is true of basically every job. Well, yeah, I would agree.
I feel like unless, there's more to it. I feel like they can't bet on their own stuff, whether they're in the building or not.
100% can't bet on the NFL if you're an NFL player. But if you're, let me ask you this: if you're an NFL player. And you're at home. Can you bet on the NBA game tonight?
Oh, you should be able to, right?
Why not?
Yeah, yeah. Ian says, yeah, you can. That's not a conflict. I just think you can't bet on the NFL. There's no NFL betting.
Have you seen the parlays that I have been hammering in our betting Discord?
Speaking of betting.
Have you seen them? Did you see the 14-legger I hit for $700 the other night?
Yeah, that was awesome. Would you put down $10 on that and won $1,400?
No, not that much. It was $700.
$700,
still.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. You've been hitting it. I'm on a heater. I signed up for my free money, and then I lost my free money, and I'm like, well, cool. This was fun.
Yeah.
I'm too poor for this. My kids are little,
Ian,
Brad.
Was one of the few that was disciplined enough to take the free bets, capitalize on them, and then get the hell out. However, I'm a degenerate, and that's just where I live.
Yeah, my problem is I didn't capitalize. I just did them and lost, and then got out.
It happens.
And then got out. That was interesting. But then it brought up another point in the chat, Brad. It brought up another point as to I think that some people are starting to, we went through this phase a couple weeks ago where it's like the world kind of came around to the fact that the Browns have a good roster and could be good this year. Right.
So yes, yeah, sort of. Some half of it. You know, there's the Watson. I call it the Watson tax. Right. Yes. On these power rankings, like nobody, you know, is okay with like 19th on CBS power rankings. Are you freaking kidding me, bro?
Yeah.
Come on.
They did. I can't remember who did the starting quarterback power rankings, and Deshaun Watson was listed as the last player on that list, dead last.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, okay.
They had Will Brinson had us after the Za'Darius Smith trade had us 7-10 and last in the AFC North.
Yeah,
well done, Will. Well done. Since then, Ken Carmen has threatened to come to his door, his back door. If yeah, so.
But it did bring up a good like. Do you think? Because take away from, like, the reporters and the guys that are just putting their personal feelings into things. And, again, that's fine. Put your personal feelings into things because your power rankings don't matter. Like, there's
right.
There's nothing behind your power rankings other than you're a guy with an opinion and you're ranking teams based on your biases and judgments, and that's fine. But, like, if you're looking – if we're sticking on kind of the betting theme, like, Vegas odds don't seem to favor the Browns things don't seem to be like it doesn't seem like people are thinking that the Browns are going to be really great. And so we're kind of wondering, like, this whole gambling thing got brought up today. And we're like, is there some news? Is this why maybe the Browns aren't being favored anywhere or getting a favorable odds going into the season? Is this why they're not ranked maybe top 10 or whatever, as we probably most people would think the Browns can be a top 10 team this year. I don't know. Do you think there's something behind the scenes?
Of a reason why they're not being more ranked highly? I think that people want to see Watson do it before again,
I'm not talking about, I don't want to make this about like the Watson tax.
So No. I'm not like, making it about that.
Vegas
they
odds,
want it.
Things like that.
Yeah, yeah, Vegas odds. I think that they, like, Vegas odds anywhere, I think they need to see it a little bit first. Like, there's some doubt there. And I think that they, I think, like, with Vegas, I was just trying to bring up the odds, actually, for AFC conference winner. They are plus 1,800. So, let's see. Chiefs are one. Bills are 2, Bengals are 3, Jets are 4, Ravens are 5, Jets. Jags are 6, Chargers 7, Dolphins 8 at 1,500, Browns 9 at plus 1,800.
Right.
So, I mean, can you complain? Who would you throw out of there?
Oh, several teams.
Okay. Who would you throw out of there?
I'm the Jets at 4. Are you kidding me?
Right.
I like the Jets.
I agree.
I like the Jets roster. I think they're going to be they're going to be a competitive team week in and week out. But no.
40 dispute. Year old
ayahuasca'd out of his mind, Aaron Rodgers, is not making the Jets a top four team in the AFC. No. I'm with Paul Spencer. I love the promise of the Jaguars.
But I like the Jags. There. I like the Jags.
Dolphins. We don't even know if the Dolphins quarterback is ever going to play ever again. Like, I'm not putting the Dolphins there. All those teams can have talent, but like, I've got issues. I got issues with several though. Even the Chargers.
Yeah.
Even the Chargers.
So I guess the ones I have the most problem with are the Jets and the Dolphins. I would agree. I would have the Browns ahead of the Dolphins. But the one in there that, like, I don't get, and it also lines up with, like, today on PFT Live, Florio and what's his name? Sims's conversation was about, can the Ravens threaten the Chiefs? Like, the Ravens are the best team to threaten the Chiefs? Are you kidding me? Like, okay, I'm not buying the Ravens hype at all. I'm out on the Ravens. I'm not buying it. OBJ, he's going to play like three games and his knee's going to fall off. I mean, it's crazy, dude. I don't buy the Ravens at all right now. I'm out on them. I got the Browns beating them twice this year.
Yeah, so, let's go.
Yeah, I think they can. Like, the Browns' ceiling is they're being absolutely undervalued, and I don't know why at, like, Vegas you would think I would have a more fair betting line. I don't know why, but they are flying under the radar for a lot of people, and I like that, though. That's right where we should want them to be, because this roster and a Watson, normal Watson returning, results in like 11, 12 wins, I think.
Yeah, and it looks like Charlie Chuck agrees with you. He likes when the Browns are undervalued. That's a big thing that we've got on Garage Beers. Chad loves it when people are down on Cleveland teams. He loves it when people are down on Cleveland teams. No expectations is a good thing. I just, for me, and this is my argument, I want to have a team that's good when there are expectations, right? Like, I want a team that's good when they're expected to be good. And it seems like our Cleveland teams in total don't do that. Right. It's like they have to have the chip on their shoulder of like, oh, they're against us and they don't think we're going to do it in order to do it. I want to have a team that's like, I want to, for once in my life, you know what I want, Brad? For once in my life, I want to have the team that everybody's rooting against because they've been good for long enough that people don't want them to be good anymore. Like, that I've been rooting against those teams my whole life.
Yeah.
I want that. I want that guy.
I want it too. I want that team too. I want the team that has the expectations, has the hype, and then lives up to it. I mean, how fun would that be, right? Like, we're always on 2019, right? It was a huge example of that, right? World's team, right? World's team and everything, right? And, you know, look what happened with, just to, you know, not enough Monken or too much Monken that year. So
we got over Monken and then under Monken. And you can't get both. You can't do both.
You can't do that with Freddie and all that stuff. So, what a mess that year was. And never go full Monken. Never. And that's what the Ravens are doing. They're going full Monken. So they're screwed. Just kidding. He's actually really bright. But I don't think that. I mean, if they're going to call on Lamar to throw it more, be my guest. So that's what I have to say to that.
And the Ravens, I feel like the Browns and the Ravens are kind of in similar spots, though, right? In this regard, a lot of the crux of what they're trying to do is dependent on guys getting back into form, right? Like, the Ravens are taking a flyer on Odell Beckham to see if he can get back into form. The Ravens running situation, man, those running backs haven't played for like 2 years. Because of injuries, like J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards, they're such a good running football team, but we don't know if those guys are going to be able to at that position, especially. It's so hard to bounce back after injuries. We don't know what they're going to look like from a running perspective. And then again, can you keep Lamar healthy? So there's a lot of question marks, but it's like, man, if all these things hit, the Ravens could be a really dangerous team because they do have weapons. And because when Lamar's healthy and feeling it, Lamar's pretty damn good. Like, he just is. On the Brown side.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You're ready, Bob. Well, all
right. Audiences are raving. Bob Marley is electrifying. It's the feel-good movie of the year. You dig? Bob Marley, One Love. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Dan Orlovsky, are you still a Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback available in the draft guy?
I think the three things that make it stand out for me are, number one, I think his ball placement versus man coverage is the best in the draft. Every quarterback in the NFL is accurate. He's got the best on tape. Number two, most transferable stuff to the NFL. And then I think the third thing is pocket peace.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.
It's one dude. It's one dude.
That's the thing for me is, like, what are the paths to the Browns really not finding it this year, what are the range of outcomes of them failing? A, like Watson plays well, the team plays pretty well, but underperforms a little bit, right? The defense doesn't come together in time. You lose some games you should win, and then at the end of the year, you get a couple bad breaks. This has happened to us a couple times, right? A couple bad breaks in a couple games.
Every year?
Yeah.
Ever?
Yeah, and you miss the playoffs by like a game, right? But Watson still plays well. That's in the range of outcomes. But the more likely thing is that the Browns play great on defense and come together, I think. And the offense is there, but maybe Watson doesn't find it. And you end up, it just doesn't play out. Like you said, it's more about one guy than anything, right? Like, can Watson return to form or just come close? I think even if he doesn't have to throw for 5,000 yards this year for them to be good, right?
Right.
Like, just return to 80% of form, and I think they would be fine.
Yeah, it's, you know, the hard thing is I'm going to be the first guy that gives Watson credit for, like, and the team, right? I'm going to give them the first guy to give them credit for the fact that what they tried to do last year was just hard. Not just bringing in this guy with six games left, but also just altering the way you play football is hard. But man, it would have made us all feel a little bit better if Deshaun Watson came out and was like, whoa, like, this is the guy. For any extended period, there were plays, man. He made some plays, but for any extended period of time, it would have been like, man, all right. Now I feel like we're here. And instead, it was plays here or there, and it wasn't extended. I think that's another reason. You know, we could talk about the Watson tax all we want, but like, in those six games, there wasn't a real sustained consistency out of it.
There wasn't, but you know what? It's like, I can't find a logical reason after seeing flashes of him do what he did before and seeing a half of football against Washington and a first half against Pittsburgh where he looked like himself for a half, right? I can't see a logical reason why he doesn't return to form this year.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And I'm hopeful. I'm just, you know, I'm also a battered and beaten.
Yeah, we all are. And that's why it feels that way, right? And then you look at, like, Russell Wilson, and it's really hard to explain how that he gets that bad, right? And just changing locations or situations, right? And that's kind of a cautionary tale that makes you think twice about it. But I suspect that we see a much, much better Watson.
So there's a couple other things that we can talk about. Again, here on the OBR's off-season coverage, if you're over on the OBR's website reading awesome stuff by guys like Brad Ward and Andrew and Jake and Jack and Cody and Barry and Fred and Brad, other Brad, all kinds of awesome stuff going on. You'll note that this is wide receivers week. We did quarterbacks week 2 weeks ago. We did running backs week last week, and we're doing wide receivers week. It's my one fun time where I'll jump in on the roundtables and put something in. So it's a good time for me. I do want to talk a little bit about the wide receivers. I want to have that discussion as it is wide receiver week. And then I do want to talk, Brad, before we get out of here at the end of this, I want to talk a little bit about what the NFL did today, because there was a little bit of NFL news, some rule changes heading our way. Specifically a big one when it comes to scheduling. We'll get to that in a little bit. But, Brad, let's talk about this wide receiver week here and the Browns wide receivers, because it's a room they attacked this offseason. It's a room we all wanted them to attack. It's a room that we all – it's a position we wanted them to at least address, and address it they did by, you know, obviously you've got Amari Cooper, you got Donovan Peoples-Jones, Elijah Moore, Cedric Tillman, Marquise Goodwin. It's going to look very different from a wide receiver perspective. So let's just talk a little bit about the receivers and kind of just have a discussion as to, you know, what we're thinking for the roundtable this week as far as how the Browns wide receivers stack up in the AFC North.
I think that they have the best group in the North outside of, obviously, the Bengals. And I think they can threaten to be there with them, like, production-wise, right? Like, I think that we're going to see a much bigger passing, larger, more volume passing offense. One thing that's really interesting I wanted to mention about the wide receiver thing, and I wrote about this just the other day, your guy there on the screen, Coop, had surgery for his core injury, and he is rehabbing still, and they're kind of taking it slow with him, if you heard the quotes from Stefanski. And they really kind of made a focus on this is a time this week, you know, next this week, when OTAs start, that they're going to get a really good look at Tillman in his place, which I think is interesting, right? And David Bell will get some looks as well. But, like, him not being available because of this core injury, and he's probably going to participate, I think they said, in some individual drills, but none of the team stuff, right, gives a huge opportunity for them to get a sneak peek or preview of Tillman in this offense, which I think is exciting.
You're getting love from Serge, by the way. Brad writes well, and he said, you know,
I saw that. You guys all are very kind for saying that stuff.
Yeah,
thank
like
you.
Really, like maybe a little overly kind. I mean, yes.
Yeah.
I'm just joking.
Very kind words. Now, when did, thanks, guys.
Did he say when Cooper had the surgery? I can't remember.
For some reason, it wasn't that long ago, I felt like. They didn't say the exact date. But to quote Stefanski or paraphrase Stefanski, he said... Well, Cooper said he's right where he needs to be, so he's on his timeline. And Stefanski said we're going to be cautious with him, obviously, which
hey,
makes sense. Yeah,
Cooper was down in Puerto Rico running, doing some workouts out on the beach with the boys. So you know, seems like he's doing all right. Seems like he's recovering just fine. So anytime we talk about that, it's like let's nobody get nervous. Seems like
no, no. I think it's a good thing that Tillman gets some additional reps now, and let him rest. I did notice in the picture, Coop had sweatpants and a t-shirt on, so I'm not sure how hard he was going on the beach that day.
He did it last year too.
Yeah, and
sweatpants on the beach.
What's his name? Looked really. I really liked Elijah Moore's outfit in that picture. Yeah.
Did we ever figure out who everybody is?
No, but I know who wasn't there. A lot of names that were being thrown out, I was like, that can't be him. He was at rookie minicamp. The two people can't be in two places at the same time.
Correct.
So,
I know some people. I noticed some people that weren't there. Did we see David Bell? I don't think I saw David Bell.
Darius Garland there.
I know the guy on the left. Nobody knows who the guy on the left was.
Well, Schwartzy was there. I saw him.
I didn't see Michael Woods. I thought that was kind of interesting. I did not see Michael Woods in that picture.
He's hurt.
Well, but he could have been with the boys. Just
he might. I don't know.
Jakeem was there.
Jakeem was there. I put out a list of 16 guys I thought were there. Interestingly enough, Emerson and Ward showed up.
Ian, do you have this picture? I want to see if we can figure this out. If you got this picture, throw it up. I think Ian's working on it. Ian McBride in the background, always just doing stuff to make us look better and prepared. And we love him for that. That was maybe the most fun time, was just trying to go through and figure out who on earth these guys were. Because some of them, it's obvious. And then some of them, I wonder if some of them just kind of brought their, like, some buddies and they were all just working out together.
No, these guys were, the guys in that picture were Browns. I don't know who
was
who.
All those
I know
guys were Browns.
Yeah, practice squad. Weston, I do not believe, was there, according to some of Stainbrook's reports, I believe. He's still... I have this picture if you guys want me to get it.
Marquise Goodwin there? I think Ian's on it.
Goodwin was there. Goodwin.
The man on the left is equal to the man on the grassy knoll. Oh, my God, I love it.
Goodwin was present.
Can you send it to Ian? Ian wants to know if you can send it to him. We'll get there.
Sure.
I'm with you. But, Brad, I'm with you. I look around at the wide receivers, and again, this is the exercise that we're doing in our roundtables, and I don't want to spoil the roundtables, and you'll be able to read all the guys' takes on this. But I'm with you when it comes to the wide receivers. I think that Browns wide receiving crew is second only to the Bengals, and unfortunately, it would be a damn near impossible to pass the Bengals with what they've got. Ja'Marr Chase is a top. What are we ready to call? What is he, a top three receiver in football at this point? Ja'Marr yeah. Chase, is that fair to say?
He's top five for sure. I don't yeah. know about top three, but he's up there.
He's up there. You know, T. Higgins and Boyd, and man, they just they killing it on the wide receiver. But I think what the Browns have done this offseason, what I like about it, Brad, is there's some definition to it. Like there's some defined role. Like you kind of know what Elijah Moore's. They're kind of already seeing what Elijah Moore's going to be. He's going to be probably your starting slot guy with DPJ and Amari Cooper on the outside. There's just a little definition to it. Marquise Goodwin just seems like he's going to be a pretty reliable fourth or fifth option, depending on what Cedric Tillman is. It just seems like there's a plan for the first time. Okay, all right, here all these guys are. So, yes.
All right.
Elijah Moore going with the tucked-in T-shirt into the shorts look.
Yeah, that's Dobbs next to him.
Yep, clearly.
I don't know. Who is that next to Dobbs?
Is that's Dimitrik, isn't it?
It's Felton, right?
I think that's Dimitrik.
Yeah, I think so too.
You guys help us in this because we're trying to figure it out. So yeah,
Schwartz is in the back with DPJ's
DPJ's in the blue.
Yep.
The blue shorts. Obviously Deshaun, Amari Cooper, Jakeem Grant. Who's behind Jakeem Grant? Because I can't really see it.
Behind Jakeem Grant.
Yeah.
Well, there's Chubb and Njoku.
Yeah, we know Chubb and Njoku. Who's behind Jakeem?
I can't tell.
Looks like Jacoby Brissett, to be honest.
I can't tell who that
Jacoby
is.
Jacoby vibes from that guy. Yeah, I can't tell who that is.
Look at Schwartz's hair.
Oh, yeah. Schwartz is happy to be here, man. I'm happy to be here. I'm hanging out with these guys.
It's not Baldwin because he was in rookie camp.
Is it
Keith,
Ford?
I know
somebody's saying Ford.
Ford was probably there, yes. That's right. A good call. Ford was there. And so then Njoku, who's next to Njoku there?
Yeah. I'm
this is where it gets weird here. The last
is this,
three, I think
is we Goodwin up front. Who's the guy in the hat? Because it's just hard to see who the guy in the hat is.
On the ground.
Yeah.
I think that's Goodwin.
The guy in the hat. There's three guys in hats. I'm so stupid.
No, you're good. I think that is Goodwin on down low.
Yeah, the three on the end. That's what killed me. Look, yeah, quality content on the OBR Twitch channel. This is what we're doing. That's why, like, I have to tell you, you can make fun of us for this, but I spent like hours.
Tupac.
No,
it is. He's alive. That's what Fumble said.
No, I know.
That is Goodwin down front. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Yeah, that's what. Okay. So the four guys that I'm unclear on. Although if we answered, if that is Jerome Ford behind Jakeem Grant, cool. These three dudes on the left, man, I'm stumped.
So let's take a look at the roster.
This guy on the left, the whole city of Cleveland has been calling him Darius Garland's like doppelganger.
Yeah.
Which I don't know that I see it, but.
No, I don't know who the hell that is.
Yeah,
let's see who could that be
in a Jeff Gordon T-shirt. That's my favorite.
I don't know because here's the thing: Dalen Baldwin was in. I think one of them's Jalen Darden.
Let's look at faces.
Yeah, one of them is Darden. I think that's him in the back. But of the three on the end, I think the guy in the red shorts in the back is Darden.
Okay, yeah,
yep.
That looks
second from the left. That
right,
is Darden. Okay.
All right, that's a good get.
Yeah. So one of them is Darden, and then one of them, we have not named David Bell yet.
I don't think David Bell's here.
He has to be.
No, none of these dudes are David Bell.
I'm almost positive they are, that he's there.
All of them. They are.
They're all him. Hold
Look
on.
At their
Let
faces.
Me get it.
None of these dudes are David Bell.
Let me get a picture of David Bell.
Yeah, none of these guys are David Bell.
I disagree. we're okay. going to agree to disagree.
David Bell.
I'm looking. I'm getting one, him up.
One of these guys is David Bell. If he had a face transplant like Face Off, then it might be David Bell.
Stop it. All right, here we go.
They need uniform numbers.
Okay, here he is.
Uh-huh. And no, that guy is not in this picture. Ooh. Anywhere. Nowhere.
Hold on. You might be right.
It's pretty clear. No, second to the left is not David Bell. That's Jalen Darden. We know that is Jalen Darden 1,000%.
That's Darden. I am wondering if... Hold on. I got to get a picture of this, Ford first.
This dude in the orange shorts is so, like...
jacked.
Not, well, they're all jacked. Jesus. Says me, sitting here and dad bodding it up. He's so, like, distinctive looking. Like, you think you would just know who this dude in the orange shorts is.
I think orange shorts... Okay, I'm changing my opinion. Okay?
All right.
Orange shorts is Ford.
Ooh.
Look at a picture of Ford. And the guy behind Grant is Bell.
The guy behind Grant doesn't look a thing like David Bell.
You can only see the top of his head, first of all, nah, because of Grant.
Nah, the guy behind Grant is Ford.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yep. Oh, damn it. Ooh, who's the other running back we're forgetting about?
There's none.
Mm.
Dude, the dude in the orange shorts is Ford. Look at a picture of Jerome Ford and tell me that's not Jerome Ford. That is Jerome Ford.
Okay, that's not Jerome Ford. Jerome Ford. Jerome Ford's next to Chubb.
That's not him. That's not him. He's not that clean cut. Look at a picture of Ford. That's him.
Is John Kelly there? Isn't it John Kelly? Yeah.
Thanks, Keith. I know you do. I appreciate that about you. John Kelly, there's no way he could have qualified for... rookie minicamp anymore, like Baldwin and Mike Harley were all
okay,
at minicamp.
I'm going to change with you. I'm going to change with you because if you pull this up, the dude next to Chubb looks like John Kelly. Look up a picture of John Kelly.
He does.
And that looks like John Kelly.
That's Kelly, and this guy in the orange is Ford.
Oh, man, I'm still not sold that that's Ford. But the face he's making, I don't know. But no, that John Kelly, 100%. I mean, this dude, I got pictures of his face right here. It looks just like him next to Chubb.
Yeah, I agree. Still don't know who the guy with the long hair is, though.
Yeah, not even a guess. I can't even venture a guess on this guy.
No. Now
It's the best mystery going on in Cleveland right now. This is it.
Yeah.
I want to spend our whole show doing this.
Could he be Nate McCrary?
I don't know who Nate McCrary even is.
Let me take a look at what Nate McCrary looks like.
It's not Kellen Mond.
Ooh, wait. We suddenly have a new... Nate McCrary is on the depth chart at wide receiver.
No, none of these guys look like Nate McCrary.
I mean, running back? None of these guys look like Nate McCrary?
Not, I mean, the only guy that kind of looks like Nate McCrary is Darden in the back, but we know that that's Darden.
McCrary is a short. What's his size?
This does not look like Kellen Mond, you guys. Like, come
6 foot two. McCrary 6 foot 213.
That dude does not look like Kellen. The dude on the left does not look like Kellen Mond. You guys all need to stop it. Doesn't look the slightest bit like him.
Hold on, let me look.
Kellen Mond is very like distinct looking.
And could be with long hair.
It ain't him. Joe Mannix, thank you. Hey, just in case you guys want to know, Dobbs second from right. All right, so listen.
I think it could be Mond actually.
It is not Mond. Unless they caught him making a face that like doesn't look like his face. Unless they did like
it's Mond. Look at his nose and then look at Mond's nose in pictures. That's him.
It's not Mond.
It is.
It isn't.
There's no other answer that it could be. I think that's Mond.
Nah, I don't see it.
Yes.
No. It's not Mond. I'm not.
Well,
I'm
he's
not
just squinting. He's squinting because of the sun and he has longer hair.
I don't see it in the slightest.
Okay. Agree to disagree, but I think that's Mond. And
I think you just want closure. Now we're in a situation where we're going to have a mistrial because you're rushing to judgment.
I'm not rushing to judgment. There is a process of elimination, bruh.
You rush to judgment. And that, like, it doesn't even look like Helen Mond. The noses are different.
It anyway. Does. No, the nose isn't different. I think that's him.
It's much different.
Yeah, that's who is in the Jeff Gordon shirt. That's
eyebrows are different. Nah. All right. Listen, we need you guys to sleuth. We need a definitive answer on the guy all the way to the left and the guy in the orange shorts. We need definitive answers on those two guys.
That's a great point, Paul. I wonder if anybody has already figured this out.
Oh, should we be Googling this? Oh, my God. No way. All right. Anyways, we tried to figure it out. But anyways, there's a lot of the wide receivers out there practicing with Deshaun Watson and Josh Dobbs, and you think it's Kellen Mond. I don't think it is.
Okay.
But just, again, do you feel like they've done enough where you would call the wide receiving group a strength of this team at this point?
Yes, I do. I think that's a big step, Brad. It's a huge step. I mean, think about what they did from last year to this year. I mean, it's massive. It really is for me. I think that Elijah Moore, for me, was the dream scenario. From the beginning of the preseason, I free agent mocked him in my free agent mock more to the Browns, but it was a Wyatt Teller trade that brought him over in my mock, but either way, I had him going to the Browns because that was my dream, right? This dude fits perfect in the offense.
Oh, when he asked for a trade from the Jets, all of us were like, go get him. What do they want? Go get him.
Yeah. So they were like, no, and then it took the Rodgers thing and them signing the dude from Kansas City, Hardman, for him to become expendable, and it worked out, though. And then you add Goodwin, who doubles down on your speed. Even at the ripe age of 32, he is still blazing fast and can produce. So you get that speed, and then you throw Tillman on top of it, who I think is a massive sleeper. His 21 tape, he's a monster. I just love what they did in all three moves. And, like, you know, coming in, it was like they've got to get better at wide receiver. They've got to figure it out to supply. I mean, Barry has eliminated all excuses from this offense not working. And I think that's a tremendous job.
And now it's on to Brad. Now it's on to play calling. Because I think that's,
yeah.
We go from personnel discussions. We go from personnel discussions to how comfortable are we? How comfortable are you? You know, we've seen Kevin Stefanski year one come in here and be the NFL coach of the year. And he's had ups and downs since then. But how comfortable are you with the Browns coaching staff led by offensive-minded Kevin Stefanski in tailoring an offense that is able to take advantage? You know, we talk so many ways about how they need to do this more, do that more. The fact of the matter is you've got one of the best threats in the NFL at running back. You've got threats at tight end. You've got threats at wide receiver. And now you've got the biggest threat you've had since 1999 as your quarterback at that position. How confident are you that Kevin Stefanski and Alex Van Pelt and crew are going to be able to put together a game plan and make the right play calls for these guys?
Listen, I think that Kevin Stefanski is a smart, bright offensive mind in this league. I think that in the past 2 years, he has made some strange situational play calls that can be questioned, right? But besides, like, the weird situational stuff, he's still a very good play caller, in my opinion. And I think that given a quarterback like Watson, the ceiling is very high for him. I think that if he is open to doing what Watson feels comfortable doing, we know that he's wanted to throw the ball more, right? Like, it's clear by his play calling that he's wanted to throw the ball more, because there are times that he blatantly should have ran it and he just threw it anyways, right? Yep. So that is a trend that he – so we know he wants to throw it more. So here's his opportunity. You can't miss. I believe in him. I think he nails it.
Yeah. I do want to go back to Surge here because I've got a great story about this. The legendary Cleveland radio sports voice, Casey Coleman. I was a production assistant on the Wills and Coleman in the Morning Show when this hire happened, or when this signing happened, Jeff Garcia. So I pull in at about 3:30 in the morning. Casey and I get there about the same time. I was kind of Casey's, like, I was kind of his assistant for that show. And we get on the elevator together, and I'm kind of excited, right? Because I'm thinking Jeff Garcia, I'd seen him make big plays in San Francisco. He's got to be better than what we've been watching with Kelly Holcomb and Tim Couch and these battles that are going back and forth. And I'm all excited. And he gets on it. He just, man, that dude slammed the door on any hopes and dreams I had the minute we got on the elevator. He looked at me, he said, "Mike, until they get people in here that know what they're doing, you better buckle up, because these Browns are going to be bad for a long, long time." And that's what he looked at me and said. What was that, 2004, on an elevator at WTAM's radio station? Casey Coleman called that thing 20 years ago, and he's been right ever since.
He has. That's incredible. Jeff Garcia, yeah, I don't know. So, like, the thing with I'm watching some of the chat response to my faith in Stefanski, and I get it. Yeah, he has been predictable at times. I will 100% give you that. He's not been perfect, and he's learning, too. But I still do think at times, like, if you go back and look at what he did with Baker Mayfield, who has proven to be flame out basically and be a below average quarterback in the NFL, what he was able to do with him and what he was able to get out of Jacoby Brissett, a career year out of him, right, in the beginning of the season. I mean, Stefanski deserves some credit for that, don't you think?
Oh, I think I always find it hard to have the discussion, because I think the low-hanging fruit is when a team doesn't succeed, it's the coach's fault. But again, I'm maybe even a step further. I agree with Keith here in the comments. Stefanski's been a good coach.
Yeah.
There isn't a coach out there that you can't question plays here or there. There isn't a coach out there that you can't question decisions here or there. You can sit here and pick apart Bill Belichick decisions and play calls over and over and over again, and there's plenty of them that didn't work.
Yeah,
but
I mean, I've been madder than hell at him for some of the calls that he's made over the, you know, this year especially. I think that, but I still believe in him because I've seen what he did with Brissett.
Everything is just lazy, Brad. Everything is just, you know what infuriates me? When I jump onto, like, Browns Twitter during the season, the thing that infuriates me the most, well, got his head in that play sheet all the time.
He's
calling the plays, you idiots.
The Denny's menu.
He's calling the plays. He's
the Denny's
looking at
menu.
The play sheet. What are we talking about here?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a lazy
tape. He's got his face in the play sheet. Yeah, that's where it should be when he's calling the plays.
Serge is right. Like,
when we watch tape, when we watch film and stuff, when Jake breaks it down, and you see wide receivers running open and the quarterback not hitting them. When you see
wide open,
when you see running backs not hit hole. I mean, how many times we saw it with Kareem Hunt a bunch. Luckily, we've got Nick Chubb that seems to find holes. When we see left tackles that are giving up on a play halfway through the play, you know what I mean? Like, I see a lot of things that I like out there that says that we're being put in good positions to succeed. The players just need to execute it.
Here's the crazy thing about what you said, right? Like, everything you said is just true. Like, he schemes guys open. I think his play designs are excellent. I think that he has done an excellent job with all of that stuff at times, right? But not following through with it and not executing it is also on him, because you can't just be really good at drawing up the play and this and calling the play. You also have to be able to put a foot in somebody's ass and get them to execute the play properly, right? So, like, I like him. Don't get me wrong. I've made that clear. I like Stefanski a lot. I don't think you can find anybody better. I think he's good for this job. I don't want to see him go anywhere. I think breaking up continuity right now would be a step in the wrong direction for this organization.
I don't think we can talk about how valuable it is that it just feels like he and Barry are just lockstep, same
thing. Lockstep. Yeah, absolutely. Now, you know, does adding Schwartz to the equation and adding what's his name? Special teams coach?
Oh, Bubba.
Adding Bubba Ventrone to the equation, does that help him? 100%. Because Woods was so much the same demeanor as Stefanski that now you have that ass kicker in the building, and you have somebody that was a head coach before and will be able to step in and kind of – they needed more of an identity, and Stefanski isn't the guy that like just is a huge motivator, right? He's more of a tactician. Now you have like that motivator, two of them actually, in the building, and I think that gels well together.
Yeah, I love that. That's a great point, Brad. So, man, this has been super fun. I did not know we were going to go on a tangent about the Browns picture. But listen, before we get out of here, I do want to talk about a couple of the changes. Go ahead, Brad. You said you had something.
Yeah, last one thing. I mean, it's unscripted, right? Last question I wrote about this, and I wanted to get your opinion on it real quick. Is this the best running mates at edge that Garrett has ever had?
I think in total, yes. Like from an entirety perspective, yeah, for sure. As far as we're talking about edges, when we're talking about Zadarius and Okoronkwo, and like, yeah, those guys for sure are the best. I mean, he's had good players. Olivier Vernon that one year was great. So, I know you guys are commenting, but that one year, Olivier Vernon, especially when Myles Garrett got hurt, Olivier Vernon was really good. The first year of Jadeveon Clowney, I really liked. I liked Jadeveon's first year. I know he doesn't sack a lot, and everybody thinks he's a sack guy, but I think he was really productive.
Well, he got 10 that year. He had a lot of pressure. So I actually broke down the numbers on all this. The best year they had was, now remember, 2020 was 16 games, so the numbers are a little skewed there because it goes to 17 games in 21. But 2020, Garrett got hurt, only had 13 sacks that year, right? Only 13.
Oh, yeah.
But, I mean, he's at 18 the next 2 years, right? So that year he had 13. Vernon was very good, and so was Adrian Claiborne, and so actually was Porter Gustin in a defensive end four role that year. Yeah. He played about 300 snaps and was pretty productive pressures-wise. And then in 21, you had Clowney and Tack McKinley, who was also very effective. So it's not like he's been terrible. We've been terrible at edge. But the crazy thing is, if you think about 2020, it was Sheldon Richardson, Larry Ogunjobi, Vernon, and Claiborne. That was probably his best surrounding cast. I do think this year in total pressures will pass that team.
Yeah, I think, I mean, again, I was kind of just thinking from the edge position, but I think, you know, I think there's been some decent depth. You know, Porter Gustin, man, he made some plays that year. He made some plays. What was that, 2018 when he was making plays? Or 2020? No, 2020.
Joe mentions Nassib too. Nassib was on one of those teams too, and had some pressures. You know,
but I think the two guys. I think when you put in Okoronkwo and you put in Zadarius Smith, in total, the two of them together are better than anything at the top of the list, at the top of the depth chart. Those two guys with Myles Garrett is better. That is more disruptive. Those three guys are more disruptive than any entire group that he has played with so far.
Smith just has massive pressure numbers throughout his career, like higher than Garrett some years, right? Like absurd numbers. And so, like, if you get 80% of his 78 pressures last year, and if you get 80% of the pressures that Okoronkwo got, you're still going to pass the teams from 20 and 21 in pressures total. If you just get a middling 50 from Tomlinson and the rest of the group, you know, and they may even still add a body. So I'm just saying, like, even with it as constructed now, I think they clearly pass any group that he has had in pressuring the quarterback, which I think only will open up. Yeah. I mean, and we're talking about Isaiah McGuire, too. We'll have an opportunity. And we're talking about young guys with opportunities, with talent around them. Those opportunities
right out there.
Yeah, those opportunities become much more. The game is easier when you have Za'Darius Smith next to you and on the inside, and Garrett opposite you on the other edge, and you're a rookie rushing off the edge. That rep becomes so much easier, opposed to last year where Alex Wright was forced into 500 plus snaps and played at a 30 plus PFF grade in those snaps. Not ideal, right? So well, I'm glad they've escaped that.
And the fact that Myles Garrett can come off the game and play a little bit, or come out of the game and not play for a little bit, and you could still be out there with Smith and Okoronkwo and be feeling really good about yourself, is that's such a win for the Browns. That's such a win. Before we go, I did want to talk real quickly two things that happened in the NFL rule changes. One, and I think you should have seen this coming from a mile away when their NFC championship game got completely ruined by injuries. I mean, like, that sucked. Just ruined by injuries. I wonder how this is going to impact the Browns. NFL teams are now going to be able to dress a third quarterback that can play if an injury occurs. So I wonder what that does for the Browns quarterback thought process going into the year with
nothing.
Again, Dobbs, Mon, DTR. Well, you don't think so? You don't think that has any impact on how they're going to approach the season?
They kept Mon on the roster all of last year and didn't dress him. So all it does this year is they just do the same thing with Dobbs and DTR. I think Mon is gone or on the practice squad, and then they will just get be able to address another player. They will be able to address another special teams player or another depth player because of this rule. Because they were going to keep all three on the roster anyways. You can't expose DTR to waivers.
Correct.
And they were never gonna. So
okay. That, yeah. And that's, you know, that was the thought process too. I just didn't know if that the Mond thing is baffling to me.
Yes.
The Mond thing to is me baffling as well. To me. And so it just made me think, like, oh my gosh, is this where they're gonna try to figure out something? Are they gonna get too smart with this or too cute with this? But I'm very much on the same page with you. DTR just stays on the roster. And is the third guy. And God hope we don't see him this year.
Probably the second guy next year.
Yeah, that's right. And then the other thing that had everybody all up in a tizzy today, and this could affect the Browns later in the season, is all of a sudden games can get flexed to Thursday night.
Yeah, you can't have two? There's a weird rule to this. You can't have two home or two road Thursday night games or more. Is it maybe you can't have more than two Thursday night games? Something like that.
Well, the maximum is two games can get flexed.
Okay.
So there's a max two games that can get flexed. I saw that. It passed, but it didn't seem like it was the most popular thing.
Yeah, nobody wants to play on Thursday night. The teams hate playing on Thursday night because, I mean, it's such an absurdly short week. Now, as fans, I absolutely love Thursday night football, right? It's great. It breaks up the week. I love it, right?
That's fair.
And it's another primetime game. So I as a football fan, I love it. And I actually, the Browns have always done historically pretty well on Thursday night.
I know.
So
we should just want them to play on
I
Thursday.
Can dig it, but
JV nights. Let's go.
Yeah. So I think that they have won already with the Jets, right?
Yeah.
And wasn't it a Thursday night when they played the Jets that we opened the beer fridges?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was Baker's debut. A bad Thursday night game was like a bad pizza. It's still pizza. Yeah. So the restrictions are it only applies to weeks 13 through 17, a maximum of two flexes per season for Thursday night. And the teams requires giving 28 days of notice. So this isn't something where a team can just get told, like, oh, you play Thursday this week now. Oh, Patty's here.
Hey, what's up, young man?
You want to say hi? Nope, sure don't.
No?
Yeah, that was just, I just thought, you know, it's interesting that if your team is, if your team's doing well, they want to showcase your team on primetime games. So we could see the Browns get more primetime games this year. I don't know that I want that, but it's there.
Yeah, I always like a primetime game, especially if it's at home. If it's on the road, I'm cool with no, you know, but home primetime games are fun because I love seeing the stadium at night and all that good stuff. But yeah, I agree with Ian that I think the NFL will be very hesitant to put Watson in primetime a lot. There's just too many. It's still too close for a lot of people to all of the narratives that, that we don't want to discuss with the young man in the room here.
Yeah, right, exactly. All right, well, listen, unscripted. We did do completely unscripted, completely off the script today, figuring out who these guys are that are with the Browns. I did go through while we were talking because I know some defensive players were there, and I'm like, do I really know what Thomas Graham looks like? None of those guys were any of those guys, so I don't know who any of those guys were.
No, so Emerson and Ward were there. I saw them, the picture of them on the roof.
I think Emerson, Ward, Thomas Graham, A.J. Green, and Grant Delpit were all there.
Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah, but they're not in that picture.
No, none of those guys were any of those guys. So, again, get sleuthing. Get somewhere. Somebody on like Browns Reddit has to have the answers to this. So
yeah,
we got
to
go look.
I think I have the answers already, to be honest.
But I think you're wrong. Nah, listen, that's going to do it for us. Unscripted. It is a great time hanging out with you guys. Brad, it's so fun to have you on. Brad is like an all-star for us, man. Anytime we need somebody, he does his own show, All Eyes on Cleveland, which he's got coming up Thursday again this week. Right? Is that correct?
Yeah, so I lied last week. I said that we were back to our regular time. My son's graduation ceremony is tomorrow night, it will be on Thursday this week. So I blanked. Sorry, Keith. Not Tuesday. Thursday this week. Back to Tuesday next week.
So let's schedule real quick. Tomorrow night we're going to have garage beers at 9 p.m. We have the radio play-by-play voice of the UCLA Bruins that's going to join
you guys. Get fantastic guests. I tune into your guys' show on Tuesday nights anytime I can. You guys
we
get
love
the best
seeing
guests.
We're going to talk to the radio play-by-play voice of the UCLA Bruins to talk a little bit about DTR.
Bill Walton. Yes,
and it's not Bill Walton, although that would be awesome. I might have to send him a message. So we're going to get him on to talk about DTR, get his thoughts on the young man and what the Browns can expect out of their newest quarterback. We may have another guest tomorrow night, so stay tuned to that as well. Wednesday, I think this Wednesday is an off day for OBR Weekly, so nothing Wednesday night. And then Brad Ward will have All Eyes on Cleveland Thursday night. Stay tuned for announcements on guests and all that, unless you already know who your guest is.
No, I'm efforting multiple.
Got it. So check all that out all week here on the OBR streaming network, and make sure you're tuned in to the OBR website where you can get the best written coverage of the Cleveland Browns anywhere out there. The OBR does it the absolute best. So that's going to do it for us. Big thank yous go out to Ian McBride in the background, making us look good, or at least finding random pictures for us. We appreciate you for that, Ian. Huge thank you to all of you guys that joined us in the chat. We love that you're a part of the OBR Unscripted and a part of the show and a part of the family, really. Thank you to all of you guys that tuned in. That's going to do it for us. Brad Ward, thank you, buddy, for jumping in.
Best chat in the land. Best chat in the world. Love you guys.
This is the best chat. Patrick wants to know if he can hang up. Hold on, Patty. So that's going to do it for us. For Brad Ward, go follow him at Ward on Sports. I'm Michael Key. Follow me at Garage Beers Mike. And we will see you again next week for OBR Unscripted. Thanks for tuning in. Cheers, everybody. Go Browns. He's trying to hit the button.
Let's go!
It's the most all-star studded challenge ever. And this time, it's every competitor for themselves.
Best challenge ever!
The Challenge All-Stars. New season now streaming on Paramount+. Go to ParamountPlus.com to try it free. Terms apply.